I want you to look at healing grace this morning with me. When we talk about grace without borders, we talk about grace going into places that have a barrier. And obviously, physically, when we get sick, there's a barrier there between being whole and sick. And so what I want to talk to you about is that grace goes in there and changes things in there. It's like you cannot go into the ICU unless you're part of a family member that is acceptable to come into that ICU and that you have dressed up, gowned up, or whatever the case is so that you don't cause any contamination. And so it's like that barrier that you have to phone in and say, hey, I'm just Jim Caruso here. I want to come and see such and such. And they say, are you a family member, blah, blah, blah. And then they let you in. We need to be able to take grace into some places where we need to say, when they're asking, you can say, you know what? I am representing Jesus Christ. You don't have to say that, but you are representing Jesus Christ, and you want to go in with his grace. And in this case, you want to go in with healing grace. So we got a couple of sheep here. Aren't they neat? See, this one's got band-aids all over it, kind of like up on there. And this one's got a tensor bandage on it. So the whole idea was, years ago, I taught on spiritual warfare and I taught on healing. And I taught on deliverance and I taught on healing. And you need to know the difference. And there is a huge difference between somebody who needs to be healed and somebody who needs to be set free. All right? And I've been in services and I've probably done it myself where somebody's come up and they needed healing. And what I did is I tried to cast the demon out of them. Boy, does that ever make them feel good. They just, you know, and sometimes they'll just comply. They'll fall on the floor and just to get you off their back. And no fooling. And then they'll leave. You'll never see them again. And you think, well, they didn't want to receive. No, they didn't want to receive because you were not doing what you needed to do. They needed to be healed, not set free. And then the opposite is that there's somebody who has some addictions or some demonic influence, and being bound doesn't mean that you have a demon all the time, but it could be just you could be involved in something that controls you, and that's what addiction is, and that's where you're captive. And so what you need to do is you need to be able to come out of that and to pray for healing for that leaves that person still bound. And they go away thinking, there's no power in God. And so grace has given us the opportunity to cross those borders. And we can go into the area where people need to be healed, and we can go into the area where people need to be set free, whatever it is, whether it's spiritual warfare. And next week, that's what we're going to talk on. We're going to talk about freedom grace. And we're going to talk about people that have been bound for years. And I know so many, and I'm talking with some right now, not in our congregation, but Elaine and I have situations around, and we talk with different people, but some people are just absolutely bound by their addictions. And they need to be set free. They need to be set free, and then they need healing to take place in the voids that have been damaged. And so that's why these two sheep are up here, and that started my whole collection of, like, if you've been in my office, and you're sure welcome to come there. It's actually a sheep shrine. There's like 130 sheep. All through my bookcases, all over, pictures on the wall. People just kept giving me sheep and sheep and sheep of the numbered ones. Yes, I do. And I haven't seen the sheep movie yet, but I'm going to. I mean, sheep are my life. You're my life. The four-legged kind are my life as well. So I wanted to emphasize that because it's so important that we realize that we can cross these borders because Jesus has equipped us to go in and set people free and bring healing. So it says in Jeremiah 8:21, 22, and he said, since my people are crushed, I am crushed. There's the compassion. I mourn and horror grips me. I don't know whether that's the way that the news catches you or you hear about a domestic situation where a family's falling apart or there's been abuse, but I'm crushed, I mourn, and to be honest with you, horror grips me. Because I've been in those situations as a paramedic, as a chaplain, as a counselor, and it tears my heart out to see people suffer and hurt. And then I grew up in that kind of an environment. And so Jeremiah says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? What is this? It is like, isn't there anything for the people that God loves? Yes, there is. You know what that is? It's us. Did you know that? Well, I don't have that ministry. Yes, you do. I don't have that gift. Yes, you do. That gift. Yes, you do. Because you represent Christ, and wherever you go, Christ goes with you, actually goes before you and sets it up, and all you have to do is be there. You don't have to do anything spectacular. You don't have to use King James. You don't have to pray in a great way. You don't have to have the anointing oil. You can use canola oil. You can use 10, 30 synthetic oil. I don't care what you use, but what you need to do is do it. And let the Holy Spirit get the glory. And if somebody does get healed, please don't go, oh, wow, now I got this gift. Look at me. Because then when they don't get healed, you have to put that one on you too. So don't even worry about that. Just say, hey, God, you heal, and why you don't heal, I don't know. But you get the privilege. So Matthew 4:22-24 says this, and Jesus is the balm of Gilead. Jesus is the healer. There's no one that does healing other than Jesus. So in 23 it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Well, he doesn't really heal this one. Well, you know what? That's all done. I mean, when Jesus went to heaven, then all people just die from their diseases. There's no more healing. Jesus said, these things I do, you'll do them and greater. Doesn't mean you're going to do different ones. It means that you're going to do these ones and you're going to do them more because there's more of us doing them. He went around healing every sickness and disease. Not bad. So news about him spread, don't you think? People travel all over the world to find faith healers. They do. Because when they're desperate, they want healing. News about spread over Syria, and people brought him all to him who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. Healed them all. It's interesting because he ties in here, demon-possessed, and then he talks about people who are paralyzed, and he talks about severe pain. Like, he heals it all. He covers it all. There's nothing that God is limited in. If you take a look at the cross, and we're going to celebrate the cross, we're going to celebrate the resurrection through communion, the reason that Jesus can say this in his own words is that he took everything on the cross. And I've already said this probably here, is that if you were to shine a light on that cross, you would have seen the most disgusting, horrible, absolutely putrid things clung onto Jesus' body. He was a magnet for sickness and sin and horror. It wasn't a pretty sight. And then he said, it's finished. It's over. I'm going to take my blood into the throne room of God, and I'm going to be your mediator now and forevermore. And I'm going to remind my Father, every time you come with a need, he has had that. It's all paid for. Do you know that? It's all paid for. We don't have to do anything but believe and receive. So I want to tell you about the horrors of war. I want to talk to you about a civil war that took place a long, long time ago. Not too much unlike what's happening in our world today with Syria and different places. Horrible, horrible, disgusting, absolutely unbelievable things that are happening in all sorts of countries around our world. People just wanting to get free and to be healed and whole. And so here's a story about Judah and Israel in a civil war with Samaria. And I'm just going to kind of break into this in 2 Chronicles 28:9-15. And you know, I've been kind of wondering if I'm preaching this, and then it's right up there. It's like, I'm not challenging your intelligence, honestly, but we have people here that are just learning our English language, and so I really feel it's important that they be able to see the words. So that's why I put most things up, and our interpreters or translators in the little room in there. We so much appreciate you. Try to follow me and make sense of this in Mandarin. And that's a real challenge. I'm sure they go home and have a sleep in the afternoon after I've been done with them. So follow me in this story here. It says, but a prophet of the Lord named Obed was there, and he went out to meet the army when it returned to Samaria. And he said to them, because the Lord, the God of your ancestors, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. So right away, you got to look at this. Hey, you guys aren't the victors. They were given into your hands. So don't get too high and mighty on your horse. But you have slaughtered them in a rage that reaches to heaven. Like, they were cruel, they were vicious, they were horribly, and I get sick. I can't watch the news. I can't hear today. I can't hear those kind of horrors because it just tears me apart. It just destroys me because I have files and files and files of horror and terror being a paramedic. I just have too much stuff, and so I kind of steer away from that for my own health. So these guys, they went to war, but they kind of enjoyed it. If you saw the passion, the guys that were whipping Christ, they enjoyed it. They thought, hey, this is cool. We'll just rip this person's body to shreds. And now you intend to make, it says, the prophet keeps on going, he says, now you intend to make the men and women of Judah and Jerusalem your slaves. But aren't you also guilty of sins against the Lord your God? So let's shine the light on you guys. You kind of have some sin in your life as well. So the prophet says, now listen to me. Send back your fellow Israelites you have taken as prisoners, for the Lord's fierce anger rests on you. Isn't that amazing? They went into this battle to discipline Judah and Israel. And then the prophet from their own community says, you know what? You guys, God wants to discipline because you got sins as well. So he says, now listen to me. Send back your fellow Israelites you have taken as prisoners, for the Lord's fierce anger rests on you. Then some of the leaders in Ephraim, oh, you can read them there for yourself. There's a couple of sons there, more sons. Shalem, I got that one. I tried to even write these down and break them up phonetically, word attack, you know. So that would be Joseph and Sam and Alan and Henry, okay? Confronted those who are arriving from the war. You must not bring those prisoners here, they said, or we'd be guilty before the Lord. So they realized that the prophet had something to say to them. Don't take them home. Don't take them into your border. Don't take them into your border and keep them as captives. Do you intend to add our sin and guilt? Do you intend to add to our sin and guilt? For our guilt is already great, and his fierce anger rests on Israel. So the soldiers gave up the prisoners and the plunder in the presence of the officials and all the assembly. Like, how do you do that? You just won this big war, and you have all these thousands and thousands of men, women, and children, and you have them and all their plunder. They have everything. They have their motorhomes. They have their cars. They have their TVs. They've just gone and looted and torn and destroyed everything, and they own it now because they won it in war. And then the prophet writes this. The men designated by name. So somebody is appointed. Took the prisoners from the plunder. They clothed all who were naked. There's a lot of shame in war. There's a lot of shame in the darkness that the enemy puts on people. My heart breaks for this story. years ago, my heart breaks for the Syrians who are being removed from their country. I'm hearing like thousands of people are coming to Italy and Greece and places like that by the boatload, and they're dying. And this has been going on for centuries. And here's this proud army who literally destroyed Judah and Israel and said, God has given us the victory, and God is saying, stop now and bring grace. Oh, man. Stop now and bring grace. And those who are naked, you know the shame in being naked? It's horrible. It's a shame in being naked when somebody has power over you and makes you that way. And so they provided him with clothes and sandals and food and drink and a healing balm. We live in a world that's very cruel. We live in a world that doesn't treat one another properly. But I'll tell you, we're the army that goes across the border. We go across the border. Look forward to going across the border with grace and touching in people's lives. Look forward to going across the border in Richmond into your neighborhood. Look forward to going across the border into the East Vancouver. Look forward to going to across the border in Canada, across the border in nations, across the border everywhere. I am praying, and I shouldn't have done this because I think it's going to happen. I've been praying, Lord, send me to the tough places. I'm sorry about this, but I've been praying that for you too. We don't need to go to the soft places. We don't need to go where it's going to be really nice. You can go on when you come back, pop in and have a couple of days in the nice 5-star hotel and eat all off the buffet. But until then, just let God take you into the places that are not safe. They're safe when you're with Him. And there's people there in His image that are in this kind of a story that need some people to come in and heal them. Last year we went to Ukraine, and it was right in the throes of when Crimea was being overtaken, and I talked to pastors and wives, Elaine and I, and we talked and we cried and we held them, and they were making decisions, and they have already been abused in so many different ways, and these people are still there, some of them. Some of them are hiding out because there's a bounty on their head. These are our brothers and sisters. We sang the same songs when we were there. And we prayed for them and held them, and we need to cross those borders. I want to go into Crimea. I want to go in there. You're not supposed to go in. I want to go in there. I want to bring some grace and healing and freedom. And all those who are weak, they put on donkeys. So they didn't make them walk. So they escorted him to Jericho, the city of the palms, and restoring them to their families. Civil war is so horrible. Tears families apart. And some of you know that. Some of you know this, what I'm saying. You know it only sadly too well. When they'd done that and restored them, I love that. They restored them to their families. Our families are so important. I love it when I see stuff. It just drives me nuts when I watch TV and somebody's restored to their family. I haven't seen their sister or brother. Or they just find out that they have this whole other family and they're crying and I'm crying, and I won't let Elaine see that I'm crying because I'm a man, right? Men don't cry. This is like a blubbering mess because I know how important family is. And when they'd done that, which would have been an amazing thing, they went back to Samaria. And then Jesus tells this story. And it's a parable. It's a story. In Luke chapter 10, he says, when one of the Pharisees, one of the academics, intellects, said, hey, who's your neighbor? They always like those kind of questions for Jesus. They like to stump him. Do you ever have anybody that kind of gives you one of those philosophical questions, you know, like, hey, there's really no answer to, and even if you got the right answer, they wouldn't credit you for it because they're just wanting to ask the question. So Jesus knows our heart and he knows our mind. And he goes, in reply, Jesus said, a man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he is attacked by robbers, stripped him of his clothes, naked again, beat him, went on their way, leaving him half dead. I don't know if you ever had that kind of experience. I was in a street fight one time. I didn't do so good. I was the guy that was laying on the highway. They didn't strip me, but they beat me. I was laying on the middle of the street, and the only thing when I kind of came to was that there was a couple of headlights coming, and I should be on the sidewalk. And I couldn't get on the sidewalk, and I thought maybe I'd just get run over. I was kind of half dead after these guys pounded on me. So this guy's laying there half dead, probably dark. A priest happened to go by down the road, the same road, and when he saw the man, he just went like this. Ew. Get ew. Because you see, when you're beat to a pulp like that, there's a mess around you and there's smells around you, and it's like if you touch priests, if they touch that, they'd be defiled, and so then they wouldn't be able to priest anymore that week. They'd have to find another job. They'd have to go and have a shower, and they'd have to go and not hang out with anybody, and hey, they're not going to risk that just for a person. Come on. Probably the guy had it coming. Who knows? Maybe he didn't pay his drug debt. Maybe he stole something, and maybe he's in an affair with this guy's wife. I don't know what it is, but you know what? He probably deserved it. Nobody deserved to be beaten like that. Nobody. A bit of my passion maybe coming out here. He passed on the other side. So too came a Levite. When he came to the other place and saw him, he passed on the other side. So they covered both sides. So don't go where the priest is, go this side. Passing on the left or passing on the right, but they still passed. They want this to interfere with their life. I mean, come on. I got things to do. I might have a Bible study to tell people about. And I can't be stopping to pick up some guy that's beat up. So in comes, and I love this, just because of what we said. Because this guy was a Jew that was beaten up, laying on the road. And a Samaritan. No, he loved Jesus. He knows all the history, and so do they, about the big fight, civil war. It was still raging when Christ was there. And a Samaritan, he says, he's making the story up, okay? As he traveled, came where the man was and saw him, and he took pity on him, had grace on him. He went and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to the inn. So he took pity on him. He crossed that border with grace. He bandaged his wounds so he got dirty and defiled, pouring oil and wine on there to bring healing. And then he put the man on his own donkey. Hey, those donkeys are pretty important in God's creation, don't you think? Because they put them on the donkeys back in 2 Chronicles. Put him on his own donkey. Okay, so, well, how big a deal is that? Put him in his own Lamborghini. Okay? Now you have to get that baby detailed, wouldn't you? Because there's lots of guck and muck going in that car. He puts him in his, I'm looking at Jeff, he puts him in his Mustang convertible. He puts him in. He just lets him come in. He crosses the borders about everything. And he brought him to an inn because they didn't have hospitals, but it would have been a hospital if he could. And he took care of him. He stayed there and he bathed him. He cleaned his wounds and he changed his dressings. Then the next day, so he was there all through the night. He didn't sleep. He didn't say, hey, see you in the morning. I'll be catching a few sleep, you know, like I'm heading to bed about 10. I hope you make it. No, he's up all night. The next day he took out a couple of bucks or enough to pay for the room, and he gave it to the innkeeper, and he said, look after him. And when I return, I will give you whatever it costs. That's grace, because he didn't know what it was going to cost. He didn't know whether the innkeeper was going to be honest and say it costs $55,000 to have him here for the last 3 days because you don't have medical coverage. He didn't say, let's negotiate a deal here. He said, whatever it costs, see, that's grace, whatever it costs. Whatever it costs, people, that's, understand that. Whatever it costs Jesus Christ his life. That's grace. We are saved by faith, by grace through faith. We are saved. It costs Jesus his life. What does it cost us? It should not matter what it costs us. Don't get hung up on, well, you know, God wants me to go on a mission trip. Well, I just don't have the money. Well, you know what? If he's called you, he'll send you on a missions trip. Somehow. And you might not get the ticket until you stand in line at the airport. That's pretty scary. Maybe God's called you this, called you that. He will supply your needs. I think you got one more slide there. Jesus came to hang out with the sinners. Mark 14:3 says this, Jesus himself was now in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. You know how popular they were? Jesus is now in the house of Simon the leper. Now, Simon was healed, but he probably still had some marks on him and scars. And lepers, I've seen, not physically in my presence lepers, but I've seen enough to know that they're not really that comfortable to be around. And so Jesus is there and he's having supper. He's sitting at the table and a woman approached him with an alabaster flask of very costly spikenard perfume. It's called balm. It's the balm of Gilead. You can buy it still. You can still buy the balm of Gilead. You can buy spikenard. Nard is used quite a few times in Scripture. And she broke the bottle neck. Probably a pretty fancy little bottle like the perfume bottles we get, you know. And she poured it on his head, anointing him for his death that was coming up. In the leper's house, this woman, we figure maybe it was Mary Magdalene, who Jesus cast 7 demons out of. Like, who are you hanging around with? Like, come on. Why aren't you hanging around with the priests and the Levites? Why are you hanging around with the prostitute who had 7 demons and this leopard guy? How come you're hanging around with them? Why don't you hang around with us who are kind of a little bit up higher on the crust, up the food chain a bit? You know why? Because he crosses borders with his grace. He is the border crosser. He is your passport into the lives of people who need to be touched. I love it. I just try to picture Jesus there, sitting with this ex-leopard. Maybe that could be a rock group, couldn't it? Def Leppard, ex-leopard. And this woman that nobody would really invite to their house. And she just kind of wanders into lepers. Simon the leper. Hey, Simon, how you doing? Fine. It's got this stuff here. I'm going to pour it on Jesus' head. And it's really expensive. Where'd you get it? You know those kind of questions like, where did you get that kind of money? I think grace had come into her life and God supplied that so that he could be anointed by her. Who was the first person at the tomb? Sorry, guys, it was none of us. It was none of us. It was Mary and Mary Magdalene. They went. Can you imagine? That's how much Jesus crosses borders. He doesn't see anything to restrict him. And Peter, or not Peter, but Thomas said, well, I won't believe unless I see and touch his hand. And so he came through the wall. That's a border. You try that. Just try taking a run right from here and go on just, oh, maybe 6 feet short of the door there and try to go through into the foyer, the lobby. We'll come and see you in ICU, and I can get in there because I'm your pastor. Do you hear what I'm saying? Grace is your passport to get in and touch and heal. It's so beautiful.